So if you can maybe open your Bibles in Philippians, we're still in the book of Philippians, and we still continue to examine this book of Philippians. The Philippian book is called the Epistle of Joy. And one thing when you ask people, have you read Philippians? Everybody's just like, what, you mean the book of joy? And let's kill that thing. So let's not get distracted. So if we can open our Bibles into that text of Philippians 3. And I'm going to read from verse 17. I heard a guy once, the phone rang, and he actually picked it up while the pastor were preaching. He said, hello? No, I'm in church. No, you should come. And then the pastor was quite happy. But imagine if he said, no, I'll see you later. Just help him there to put it on silent maybe. So in Philippians 3 verse 17 it says, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the bodies of our humble estate. Some translations say vile, some translations say lowly bodies. With the bodies of, and then it says, into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. So a quick one. My first point for today is we need to be examples, or we need to be imitators. If we look at the text, it say, join in following my example. It says that the key words here is not just follow my example. It actually says, join in following. And then it also says, us. It doesn't just say, me. See, there's plural. There's many of them. It's not just one guy to follow, but it's actually a few people that is an example, a pattern that we can follow. More than one person that's being an example. All of us actually needs to be example. It's not just a thing of, look, he's an example. Gareth is an example, and we'll just follow Gareth. No, we also need to be examples. Paul is trying to tell the Philippians, the thing of pattern, the thing of being an example is a very important thing in our lives. He says there to the Philippians, he says that we have many, there's others that you need to follow. But who's those others? If you look at the book of Philippians, and we've dealt with these things previously. It's a guy like Timothy. You see, it's local and it's also translocal. It's people around us, but it's also people that is away from us. And with them, they knew about Timothy because he had a good testimony. He was a good example. And that was an example to follow. But also a local boy, a guy called Epaphroditus. Remember, we looked at his life, that he was a faithful guy, God-fearing person. And that is also an example that we can follow. See, it's good to look at guys out there, maybe Rob McFarlane. We see him as a good example. But we also need to look at people in our midst as examples. It is very important. But also in the same sense, we too need to be those examples. See, for Paul, it was this thing of imitating. It was being an example as Christ Jesus was an example for him. In 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, it says, imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. A lot of us will say, yes, Paul, you're a bit bold, brother. You're the one saying we need to follow you. Why can't we just follow Christ? Well, if we look at the life of Paul, this guy was totally sold out for Jesus. See, where he was totally all about him, and he met with Jesus, they became all about Jesus. My question is this morning is, do we want to set an example of who we are? Or do we set an example of who Christ Jesus are through us? There's a passage in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 14. It says, I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish, to encourage you. As my beloved children, just remind you, he's writing to them and he sees them as children. Yeah? So what is he? If he sees them like children, he's the father. Yeah? says, "For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers." Paul says, it's one thing me giving you encouragement, but I'm not giving you encouragement from a point of view, an instruction from a point of view as a teacher or as an instructor, like many translations are saying, but as a father. It goes on, he says, "For in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Therefore I exhort you, be imitators of me." Again, this thing of imitating him. "For this reason I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and will remind you of my ways which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church." Paul is highlighting the fact here of a father and a son relationship. And he's highlighting that he's not an instructor, but he's a father. And he's not coming to give them something of an instructor as a teacher, but he's coming to out of a place of being a father. You see, when I went to school, I sat in the school and the teacher would say, "Children, listen." What happened? Don't listen. "Do your homework." What happened? No homework. But as I spent time with my father at home, and he shows me how to do things at home, whether it was tiling a floor of the bathroom, or whether it was painting a wall. I hated that, by the way. But one thing what happened was, the father showed me how to do these things. And I still remember him to this day. But another thing with a father compared to a teacher is the heart. A teacher does it because he needs to do it. He gets money. But a father does it because of love. A lot of people will say, "No, but a lot of teachers, they do it because they love." I bet you they love that paycheck. Especially in this country. Paul was living out of an example to his spiritual children. So, six things, and I'm going to not even hit them. But be imitators of the way of Jesus Christ. We need to be examples of Jesus Christ. Jesus gives us the Great Commission, and he tells us, and this is the King James Version, "And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever." Just say whatsoever. "I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Two words here that we can focus on, maybe three. Teach, observe, and whatsoever. The word "teach" there is a Greek word. It says matiu. It says to be a disciple of one, to follow his precepts, to be instructed, and to actually live out an example. Observe is trio. It says to attend, to guard, to do something on your own. It actually says that you need to go and do this now. You need to look at it, you need to receive it, and you need to go and do it. And in that doing it, you're an example of it. And that thing in whatsoever, it's a very interesting word. It actually means whatsoever. So in everything that we do, we need to be examples of Jesus Christ. And we need to example what? We need to example his ways. Very simple. Point number two, to do the will of the Father. Just as Jesus was sent to do the will of the Father, Paul sent Timothy to the Corinthians to do what? To be an example of Paul. To do the will of Paul. A biblical principle. He went, as Paul saw Jesus Christ as the imitator, Timothy goes, he sees Paul as the imitator, and what happens? He is the imitator. He is the example. See, as we have spiritual men around us, or spiritual mothers around us, we need to look at what they are doing. But we need to make sure, that they are imitating Christ Jesus. And how do we check that? Against the Word of God. You see, they are examples. They are not comparers. We don't compare ourselves against people, but we take their testimonies as examples, and we imitate that. Jesus says in John 5:19, So Jesus said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing on his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise." You see, just as Jesus was imitating his Father, Timothy was imitating Paul. Who are we imitating? And who are we imitators for? In John 13, I love the word. In John 13, verse 6, it says the following. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash your feet, you have no part with me." He said, "Brother, if I don't wash your feet, I've got nothing to do with you." Jesus wants to get intimate with us. Jesus wants to get wet with us. Jesus wants to be the one that washes us. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." So from not washing me, then he says, Jesus says, if I don't wash you, got nothing to do with me. He says, "Okay, no, Lord, wash my feet, wash my hands, wash my head. Just bring the hose pipe, spray me down. I want it all. Bring the bucket." When Gabriel comes from a rugby practice, when he walks into my house, I want to wash that boy off. But for different reasons. Because he's a bit stinky then. And then Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, 'You are not all clean.'" So when he had washed their feet, he was speaking about Judas Iscariot, then taking his garments and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you?" Remember what he said in verse 7? "What I'm doing, you do not understand now, but you will understand after I've done this." Now he asked them, "Do you know what I've done to you?" In verse 13 says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.'" Verse 14 says, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than the master, nor is he who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you." Jesus gave us an example. Jesus, the one that says, "For I do only what the Father shows me to do. I only do what the Father resembles me to do." Of imitating the Father. And he says, "I came to serve you." Point number three is, Jesus came to be an example of a servant. And to serve in what sense? Jesus came to serve in love. The Lord Jesus Christ, the ultimate thing that he came and did was to come and be an example of love. Ephesians 5 verse 1 to 2 says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice to God." We are here to be examples. But we, in that example, we are here to be servants for one another. And thank you, Jenny. And servants for the King. And that is by imitating Him and imitating that love. How are we doing with that? To come back to Paul and Timothy, Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 verse 12, he says, let no one despise your youth, but set to the believers an example in speech. And that's point number 4. To be an example despite your age. See, we live in a society. Last night I was sitting through, and just throughout the preach and whatever, sitting in my house, and I just heard these youths coming through my street. Oh man, I tell you, it sounded like a riot. They were high, drunk, stoned, whatever you want to call it. They were on it. By the sounds of it, you could just hear it. So what were their example? What was their example right there? As a young person, we can easily think that my example does not count. It does. For the young people in this room, your example, I'm talking to Roy, your example counts. Another young man, a young son in the faith, called Titus, who was in Crete, Paul writes the following. He says, in all things, show yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility. Just because you're young doesn't mean you cannot be an example. Doesn't mean you cannot be a pattern. But young men need good examples so that young men can be good examples to other young men. 5. We are imitators by abiding in Christ. The thing, if we want to be imitators of Jesus, to be able to walk in the purity that we see and hear in the Word of God, we need to be able to abide in Jesus. See, I speak to my daughter and I tell her certain things. So if you go to Ariana and you ask her, Ariana, what are you? She'll be like, I'm a big girl. Because her dad has told her that. I say, Ariana, if you ask her a question, who is mommy? Mommy is a princess. If you ask her, who is Levi? She says, Levi is a baby. But then you ask Ariana, Ariana, who is daddy? And she tells you straight away, daddy is a machine. You see, she only gets that because she is spending time with the Father. She's abiding with me. Very good, amen. So in 1 John 2 verse 6, it says, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. She doesn't just look like me. She starts talking like me. The other day, I said to her, Ariana, you need to get out of the bath. So as I'm walking to the bath, she looks back at me and she says to me, give me 1 minute, Daddy. And I thought, Mary Lee. That's Mary Lee. But Jesus, he's referring. He says, in John 15, verse 46, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they burn. For us to be imitators of Christ and examples for others, we need to be able to abide in Jesus Christ. And when we are imitators of Christ, we will have the heavenly perspective that Paul is talking about in the scripture. See, this morning in the prayer meeting, and even right through this meeting, we were reminded that we are heavenly citizens. Point number 6, imitators of Christ are citizens of heaven. Luke 10, I love the passage in Luke 10. Jesus sends out the 72, they come back, they say, Lord, we have cast out demons, we have healed the sick. And those boys are rejoicing. Jesus looked back at them and they say, and he says the following, he says, do not rejoice in those things, but rejoice that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Some translations say that you are citizens of heaven. We only live as citizens of heaven if we plug into heaven. The only way that we plug into heaven is through Jesus Christ. It's by abiding with Him. Because what starts happening is the earthly ways that we are used to thinking like goes away, and we start having the heavenly perspective. A guy called Tom Tapping, he came to a meeting once and he said, how many times do we pop our heads into heaven and just hang out there? I'm going like a steam train here, I'm sorry. Oh, amen. So Paul reminds us, as we heard previously in this Philippians series, that we shouldn't look, that the Philippians, they shouldn't look at their Roman citizenship as they were in Philippi, which was like a mini Rome. No, they should focus on this heavenly citizenship. And that is exactly the same for us. Do we see ourselves as Edinburghers or UK British passport holders? Or do we see ourselves as whatever nation you are from and you have that passport and you're a citizen of that place? Is that overruling your citizenship that Christ Jesus has given you? Because Paul is challenging these boys. He says, no. He says, you need to be imitators of Christ Jesus. You need to be imitators of a heavenly identity. Are we imitating a heavenly identity? I love the fact that when you go into our city, you meet people from all over the world. And just by speaking to them, you can hear exactly where they come from. We have Spanish, Italians, Germans, people I've never even met from countries I've never even heard of. You find them in the city. And they are citizens of those city. But when you meet them, you can immediately identify with what? Their culture. When people meet us, what do they immediately detect in our lives? What is the culture? What is the citizenship that they pick up when they spend time with us? I apologize, I went over the time. One thing we need to ask ourselves, friends, is are we those examples for Jesus Christ? Are we imitators? And who are we imitating? Do we have God-fearing men and women that we are imitating? And my other question today is, who are we imitating for? See, we have people. Mary Lee said to me the other day, I spoke Afrikaans, and I just said, oh, goodness, you know, in Afrikaans, which is a different word. And Ariana just immediately picked it up. She said, oh, my, da-da-da-da. And I just thought, sheesh, this is incredible. She watches me, and she picks up from me. So who are we watching, and who are we imitating? See, we need to understand these things. And these people that we are imitating, are they God-fearing men and women? Are they imitators of Christ Jesus, as Paul was? I want to leave us with that this morning. We have amazing men and women in this congregation that loves Jesus Christ. But the ultimate imitator is Jesus. The ultimate person that we need to imitate and copy and be follow example is Jesus. In Luke 23 verse 39 is a passage where Jesus is being... Let me just go there. I'm going to end with this. I'm sounding like Malcolm now. Which is not a bad thing. It says in verse 32. There were also two other criminals laid with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, they were there crucified. And they crucified him and the other criminals, one on the right and one on the left. Then Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided their divided his garments and lots, and the people stood back and looking on. But when the rulers, when they sneered and saying, he saved others, let him save himself. He is the Christ, the chosen of God. The soldier who also mocked him coming and offering him a sour wine and saying, you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. And an inscription also was written over him in the letters Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. That's probably just a picture of God loves all nations. Then it says, this is the King of the Jews. Verse 39. Then one of the criminals who were hung blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. What's happening here? What's happening? What's happening with this guy? He's copying He is copying. He's on the cross. He's dying. He's copying those religious leaders. He's copying that soldier. He is copying. He's choosing to imitate what they are saying to Jesus Christ. He is choosing to blaspheme the Savior of the world, the Savior of that guy's soul. He is choosing to copy that. But here's the amazing thing here. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into the kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Every single day we have a choice. Just like these two men had a choice. We could choose to be like the one to mock God, to blaspheme God, to be against God. Or we can choose to see our own sinful state, our lacking state. And we can choose to ask for Jesus to remember us. And Jesus said to him, "Surely I will see you in paradise today." When we ask the Lord for forgiveness, when we come to repentance to God, He will never deny you. His word tells you that. Let us be imitators of Christ Jesus.